But anyways, Hunter Biden lied on his 4473. And guess who's in jail because they lied partly? Because they lied on the 4473? DJ Taylor. Guess who the federal government, even though they have overwhelming evidence of wrongdoing, of one, disposing of a weapon improperly and lying on the 4473? That's Hunter Biden.
Thank you for tuning in to the Removing Barriers podcast. I'm Jay.
And I'm MCG.
And we're attempting to remove barriers so we can all have a clear view of the cross.
This is episode 152 of the Removing Barriers podcast. And in this episode, we will compare and contrast the legal situation surrounding the conviction of Deja Taylor and the politics surrounding the legal woes of Hunter Biden.
Hi, this is Jay. MCG and I would like for you to help us remove barriers by going to removingbarriers.net and subscribing to receive all things Removing Barriers. If you'd like to take your efforts a bit further and help us keep the mics on, consider donating at removingbarriers.net/donate. Removing Barriers, a clear view of the cross.
So as we discuss the differences and similarities between the case of Deja Taylor and Hunter Biden, can you give us a background on exactly what happened with Deja Taylor?
Yep. So in January of 2023, so that's about a year ago now, it was reported that a first grade student, a 6-year-old boy, shot his teacher in the classroom. The bullet went through her arm and through her upper chest, I think, collapsing one of her lungs. But she was able to take the remaining kids to safety after being shot, and no one else was injured. So you got that right. A 6-year-old boy shot his teacher. It was later revealed that the mother of that 6-year-old is Deja Taylor. It could be Deja or Deja. I think it's probably Deja Taylor. A single mother living in Newport News, Virginia area. Their boy reportedly got the gun from his mother, took it to school, and shot his teacher. Now, she was convicted, or at least she accepted a plea bargain of lying on her ATF form 4473, because at the time of the purchase of the gun, she was using marijuana. Here is a news clip of the situation.
And breaking tonight, the mother of the Richneck Elementary School shooter will spend 2 years in state prison. Today, a judge called Deja Taylor's actions egregious after she was found guilty of felony child neglect.
Emily Harrison was there when the judge handed down the sentence. She is live now. And Emily, this decision goes well beyond the sentencing guidelines.
That's exactly going to be the case. A Newport News judge sentenced Deja Taylor to a total of 5 years, two of which she will spend in state prison. And the other 3 years are suspended at this time. The judge told the courtroom he could not follow the sentencing guidelines of 0 to 6 months because, quote, these guidelines do not take all the facts and history of this case into account. Deja Taylor stood stone still as the judge handed down the sentence. The judge said he could not follow the sentencing guidelines of 0 to 6 months because, quote, this is significantly more serious than lying on a form. Child neglect is the most serious crime, the most serious charge. Taylor's attorney, James Ellenson, says he is disappointed with the decision.
We think it was excessive. I think there are guidelines for a reason. And I think the guidelines were adequate in this case, and I just respectfully disagree with Judge Papil.
Right now, Taylor is serving 21 months for two federal charges because she lied on her gun registration and will now serve this 2-year prison sentence consecutively to it.
Let me just jump in here and say this, though, because I hate when news reporters do this.
What is it?
They call it her gun registration. The state of Virginia, as far as I know, do not have a gun registration. What Deja Taylor did was on her ATF form 4473, which is the form you fill out when you're buying a gun in the U.S., and this is true for every state in the union, except for a few states that say if you have a concealed carry permit, where we have already done a background check on you and we already declared that you're good to buy a gun, you don't have to do it again when you buy a new gun. But for majority of the states in the U.S., you have to fill out a 4473, which is then turn over, or they call the FBI or the NICS system, and they will give you a yay or nay or wait or whatever the result may be. But it's an instant background check system. You fill out that form. And again, this is federal law. This is not state law. So you have to fill it out in order to buy a gun. So it's not a gun registration. It's just something for you to say, yes, FBI, this is the information that was given to me. And you have to swear that you are not addicted to drugs. You're buying the gun for yourself. It's basically, I think it's like 4 pages. And you fill it out. They run a background check. Come back in about, for me, it normally take about 30 minutes, you know, between the time that I submit it and get there, okay to go. So it's not gun registration, it's just simply the form you fill out for background check. I wish they had done better homework on that part, but anyways.
When handing down the sentence, the judge also questioned Taylor's remorse. He pointed to public statements Taylor has made about her son's frustration with his teacher, Abby's Warner, and Taylor's, quote, misleading statements about where she kept the gun in her home. Ellenson says an appeal is possible, as he says Taylor's statements should not have been a factor.
There's a couple of things from a legal perspective. I don't know that he could even take that into account, because that was not evidence that was presented in court today. So I think the judge is looking outside of what evidence had been introduced in court.
Teacher Abby's Warner did not have a comment walking out of Newport News Circuit Court following the sentencing, but she read a victim impact statement on the stand. She told the judge, quote, this never would have happened to me if not for the defendant's actions or lack thereof. Now, while Taylor is going to be serving her time in prison, there is still a protective order between her and her son. She is still able to have supervised visits with her son, but she cannot have any criminal or offensive behavior in front of him. And it is entirely up to the discretion of the child's guardian, which is going to be Calvin Taylor, who is Deja Taylor's grandfather. In Newport News, I'm Emily Harrison, 13 News Now.
Okay, Emily, thanks. And following Taylor's release from prison, she will have 2 years probation. She'll be required to undergo a psychological evaluation, counseling to overcome drug addiction, and she'll have to take parenting classes.
No, this is a little bit off topic, but I find it a bit laughable that the state is saying that she has to take parenting classes. Where's she going to get it from? The state? Well, I don't know. I don't think the state make a good parent, but I'll just look over that part of it. But basically, what happened, her son got a hold of her gun, shot his teacher, and said some really mean stuff, basically that he shot, and he referred to his teacher as a female dog, dead. She didn't die, but that's what the 6-year-old boy said after he shot his teacher. Now, in Virginia, the law stipulates that if you have a minor child, you cannot have a loaded gun in the reach or stored in a way that a minor child can get it. I think the child has to be older than 14, so 15 and older. Then you wouldn't be charged if a minor child get a hold of your firearm if they're 15 or older, but 14 and below, you'll be charged. So that's basically the law in Virginia. Basically, when authorities search a home, they didn't find any safes, they didn't find any gun vaults, they didn't find any trigger locks or any gun locks, which is surprising for me because I also know that most gun stores and most places, when you buy a gun, they provide you several things. They provide one of those cheap wire locks that you always get. And I think in the state of Virginia also, the gun has to come with a trigger lock. So she seemed like she bought the gun from a federal firearm licensed dealer. So that to me would tell me that she would have gotten at least a trigger lock, which is state law, I think. But if she had bought it new, she would have gotten one of those wire locks or whatever you call them as well. So if she wanted to lock away a gun, she would. If she have it, quote unquote, staged for home defense or self-defense, you can understand that, you know, it was loaded. I think it came out and said that she had it atop of a chest or jaw. Any which way, somehow the child got a hold of it, which is, again, illegal in Virginia. And then, of course, they charge her with child neglect and stuff like that. And also, the fact that she was addicted to marijuana when she purchased a gun, aka she lied on her 4473, which is a federal felony. So that's basically the background of Deja Taylor.
In addition to these details, she apparently misled the investigators as to how she stored the weapon. And she's issued statements since, when she was interviewed on Good Morning America, that she and her family take gun safety very seriously and that they store their weapons in safes with trigger locks and on the top shelf in their closets. That's why it's significant that the investigators did not find trigger locks or safes that indicates that she was lying about how she actually stores the weapon. And it was obviously very easy for her son to get a hold of it. Of course, because Deja and her son are Black and the teacher is white, there inevitably were race connotations attached to the story that, in my view, have nothing to do with what happened. The question about whether or not the charges and subsequent convictions in her case were fair are unfortunately marred by that. People who see race as an element have vocalized that, so much so even the boy's grandfather, either his grandfather or his great-grandfather, remarked that this would not have been a big deal if the boy were white. But because the boy is Black, he feels that race has an issue, has a role to play in this, and that this is being hyped up more than what it was. I think that gives you a little bit of a glimpse of the family this boy is in, that his behavior would be excused with the race card. And of course, his mother struggling with drug addiction. As far as we can tell in the story, the father is nowhere in the picture. And the boy will be raised by not his grandfather, but his great-grandfather. So there are generations of men that are not present in this child's life, or at least initially appear that they're not present in this child's life. All of these things converge to create this terrible situation. She was charged with federal child neglect and sentenced to 5 years in jail, three of which were suspended. And as we heard in the clip, the judge says that even though the sentencing guidelines call for maximum 6 months imprisonment, the specific details in this case were such that were so egregious that he felt that 6 months was just not appropriate for the crime committed. In his view, it's the child that he was most disturbed about and that moved him to issue that sentencing. The prosecutor didn't agree. The prosecutor said that the judge was weighing things outside of the trial, things that were not presented as evidence in the trial in the sentencing, and that wasn't fair. Of course, he is the defense attorney. He has to say something like that. But I suppose, in my view, and as someone who's from the outside looking in, I think the ruling is fair. What do you think, MCG?
Well, I think that the judge was pretty lenient with Deja Taylor because he could have her served that 2 years for child neglect.
The extra 3 years?
The extra 2 years. The 2 years that she did get. Let me back up. She got 2 years. She accepted a plea deal and she got 2 years for the federal crime of lying on her 4473. And the judge, for the state crime, for child neglect, the judge gave her 2 years that would run
concurrently
with the two. So both of them...
You're right. Concurrent, not consecutive.
Right. So both of them would end at the same time. He could have given her consecutively where mm-hmm. she served her federal charge, and then she served her state charge, which would be 4 years total. So the judge was lenient in that safe. I will say this, though, and this might be a little bit controversial, but I don't agree with safe storage laws. And you might say, hey, why? You have kids. Yes, I have kids. I have minor kids. And I do have gun safes and gun vaults around my home before.
You did, right before your boating accident.
Yes, before the boating accident. And I seek to store, again, before the boating accident, weapons safely so my kids can't get a hold of it. And I make it you probably more so than me, make it a matter of knowledge for the kids that they'll understand the dangers of gun and gun safety. I'm the one who mostly take them to the range, so I definitely drill into them gun safety, always make sure the nozzle is pointing in a safe direction at the range, is always downrange and stuff like that. So why is it I'm saying that I don't agree with gun safety laws? Because it is a blanket that covers everybody. What about the single person out there who doesn't have any kids in their home? Why should they be required to store their gun in a particular way if they don't have kids in their home? Why is it that if you have all teenagers in your home, why is it that you have to store your gun in a certain way? I think it should be, you should know your kids, you should know the minors that are in your home and make a decision to make a wise decision. I believe that you should store your gun safely. I believe that everyone should learn gun safety, and I think that's the bigger thing. One guest we had on the podcast earlier said that the biggest safety of any weapon is the trigger finger. Make sure that finger is not on the trigger. But I say all that to say this, you know, you can argue whether or not DJ Taylor should have stored a gun or whatever, and I don't agree with the law. But at the same time, I think she knew her son had behavior issues because she spoke about it publicly, about his behavioral issues. The teacher knew about it. The principal knew about it. Everybody in the family seemed to know about that this child has some behavior issues. So why is it that you have a child like that have behavior issues? Why is it that you're leaving your gun in reach of the child, knowing the child that you have? You know, again, I'm not trying to say my kids are better, make sure my kids are capable of the same thing like that this six-year-old, but my kids have never climbed up anywhere trying to get a hold of a gun because I don't necessarily hide guns away from them. We teach them gun safety and stuff like that. And I think this is the issue here. It's poor parenting. Then the state is going to say, hey, you have to take parenting class. I don't think the state make good parents. I remember you and I got married in Florida and we did pre-marriage counseling, not in Florida, but because we were getting married in Florida, we either had to get premarital counseling from someone in Florida or we had to do the state counseling stuff. Basically, it came down to read a booklet of probably 30 pages or so. It was several pages. I remember reading it. And the first couple pages was about marriage and congratulations and stuff like that. And then the rest of the thing was, here's what happened if you ever got the divorce. I was like, this is a state pre-marriage counseling? So what is a state parenting class going to look like?
Right.
You know, I think her sentence was very lenient. She accepted a plea deal and stuff like that and whatever happened in the state of Virginia. Here are the laws that she violated, though. Allowing access to firearm by children. It shall be unlawful for any person to recklessly leave a loaded, unsecured firearm in such a manner as to endanger the life or limb of any child under the age of 14. So I was wrong. I thought he was 15, but he was under the age of 14. 13 and younger. Any person violating the provision of this subsection shall be guilty of a Class 1 misdemeanor. So she was guilty of a misdemeanor. So that wasn't the biggest issue there because the kid got a hold of the gun. Okay, that was a misdemeanor. Here's another one, Section B. It shall be unlawful for any person knowingly to authorize a child under the age of 12 to use a firearm except when the child is under the supervision of adults. So therefore, parents, you can take your kids to the range, whatever the case may be, but you have to be there with them. Any person violating this subsection shall be guilty of a Class 1 misdemeanor. For the purpose of this subsection, adult shall mean a parent, guardian, any person standing in for the parent of the child, or person 21 years or older who have permission of the parent, guardian, or person standing in for the parent to supervise the child in the use of the firearm. And then Virginia felony child neglect, which is what she was convicted for. Any parent, guardian, or other person responsible for the care of a child under the age of 18 whose willful act or omission in the care of such child was so gross, wanton, and culpable as to show a reckless disregard for human life is guilty of a Class 6 felony. And that was what DJ Taylor was convicted of. So they basically step over all the misdemeanors and said, hey, because you allow your child to get a hold of this gun, because the child took the gun to school and shoot his teacher, endangering the kids, it was your negligence of not storing the firearm, all these things that caused all this to happen. So again, I do agree that DJ Taylor should be punished for the action of her kid because the kid got a hold of a gun because it was poor parenting, it was neglect. I think adults should be responsible enough to know how to keep guns away from their kids. If that means getting safes and gun vaults and whatever, so you have to lock them away, so be it. If that means that you don't have kids in your home and you're going to leave it on your nightstand, so be it. You just can't be leaving your guns around for minor kids. I agree with that, but don't tell me how to store my guns because you don't know the layout of my home. You don't know how I may have to defend my home. Anyways, that's beside the point. So again, I think you asked, what if the charge and the sentences are fair? I think she got off pretty light in the fact that she could have probably got up to maybe 10 years for the federal crime and up to 5 years for the Virginia stuff. I think she got off pretty light. You know, I agree with the judge that, you know, you have to know your kids, know what you can leave in their reach and necessary parenting skills. The drugs part of it, which is what caused her to be convicted on lying under 4473, that is debatable because a lot of folks would say, hey, simple marijuana use should not prohibit you from being able to exercise the Second Amendment. And if you go to YouTube and look at many of these gun channels, a lot of these guys argue that, you know, marijuana shouldn't be a problem. And the fact that marijuana is legal in many states, at least to a certain amount, including Virginia, actually, at a certain amount, marijuana is legal. The District of Columbia and many other states have legalized a certain amount of marijuana for personal use. It's still illegal federally. So why is it that you can drink alcohol? That doesn't prohibit you from buying a gun, but using a legal substance in a state prohibits you from buying it. Of course, alcohol is not prohibited federally, but marijuana is. But hey, I'm not advocating for drug use. I don't use any sort of drugs in terms of marijuana and other stuff. And I don't drink neither. So I'm not advocating for either. I think both of them should be banned if I have my way. But I'm not simply saying. If you're going to say drinking is fine and you can buy a gun, even though you drink every day or whatever, why is it that if you casually smoke marijuana, you can't buy a gun? Again, to be fair, in most states, if you're drinking, you can't have a gun on you. You can't go to a bar with a gun. That's prohibited. But what I'm saying is not that. I'm simply saying that the fact that you consume alcohol do not prohibit you from owning a gun or buying a gun. But the fact that you consume marijuana prohibits you from owning a gun. But anyways, that's the law. And there's nothing I can do to change that.
So there are inconsistencies in the law. I don't see how the sentencing helps the situation. You still have a very young boy, 6 years old, a very, very young boy whose flesh is allowed to run rampant. He is not under any type of discipline as instituted by God. What I mean by that is the things that the Lord has instituted in order to rein in the flesh and provide for the dissemination of righteous living and godly society, or at least on the surface, godly society. All of those things were broken in his life. The family, the church, none of those things were there to provide another source of, I don't want to use the word control, but restraint when it comes to the flesh, when it comes to evil. The family is the first institution that God has given us in order to facilitate the reining in of our flesh. You have parents who will impose on you, or who are supposed to impose on you, the discipline, the nurture and admonition of the Lord. That wasn't available in his life. And there are multiple layers of failure there. I mentioned how the father, the grandfather, I mean, he has to go live with a great grandfather because that's apparently the next of kin, the closest next of kin that's available for him to go to. So his mother is in jail in a system that doesn't honor or acknowledge God as supreme. And he has gone off to live with a man who says that, oh, this wouldn't have been a big deal if he were white. So this seems to be a perpetuation of the problem. Of course, again, as someone from the outside looking in, we may say, I don't know all of the details, but it just seems to me that the state's solution, I would agree with you, is weak. And I don't see how this boy has a shot at regaining or having some semblance of a normal life apart from the Lord's radical intervention to save his soul.
Well, I'll say this, though. They say the six-year-old boy has behavioral issues. I'm not quite sure exactly what these behavioral issues are. I would assume it's probably somewhere along the spectrum, autism and stuff like that.
No. What they're talking about is his history of violent behavior.
I'm getting to
the
that.
Pinching and the
right. I'm
cursing
getting to that.
And
so the spectrum part. Hey, I might be a little bit old, but when I was growing up, that doesn't mean you need a spanking. So, you know, behavioral issues, that doesn't mean you're spanking. The pinching part and stuff like that and the language, because as I said earlier, after he shot his teacher, the bullet went through her hand and into one of her chests, collapsing one of her lungs. He said out loud that he shot that female dog, the term for a female dog, dead. So that tells me that he was in a home where those kind of language are used.
Right. That's not something a six-year-old knows
right.
offhand.
That's
something
not,
that they see
not,
and they pick up from their home.
Right. That's not that language. Either in his home or at school or someplace, some sort of environment around that kid, where that kid pick up that from. So you can say that. You know, sometimes kids don't pick up everything from home, but either was home or the environment he was in. So you can take that into account. So the kid has issues. Again, you've made a valid point. Where is this kid's father? Because he didn't went to his grandfather. And I'm talking about both sides.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't went to his grandmother, both sides. He went to his great-grandfather. Now, it could be that the great-grandfather was the only one who said, yes, I will take care of this kid until you're out of jail. And it could be because they just trust him, or, you know, grandparents, their granddaughters, especially can wrap them around their little pinky finger and manipulating them. And I'm saying Deja Taylor did this, but it could be that she had the best relationship with him because everyone else maybe write her off. I don't know what it is, but he went to his great-grandfather. That's telling, you know, so it's a failure all around because you must ask the breakdown of the nuclear family, the breakdown of the family, all of this. You're right. The foundation is gone. This kid was born in a broken home, and all the foundation of that, what God intends of make sure that you're married, committed relationship, one man, one woman, all that's gone. And basically this kid, unfortunately, have reaped the fruit of this broken society of sleeping around, having kids, young, whatever the case may be, and having no father to raise them, having no family structure, stuff like that. So
having kids young, I don't think is even the problem. The problem
is
when
you're a teenager or whatever the case may be, and based on her age and based on the kid age, yeah, she was young.
Well, I'm one to believe that young people, provided that they've been raised in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, can absolutely do fantastic and incredible things for God, for the good of mankind, for the good of their society. It's only in recent history that we have this idea that people get married and have children in their 20s and 30s. It was common in older days. Of course, I'm not comparing olden days to today in the sense that, oh, you know, good old days and those were the good old days. I'm not saying that. What I'm saying is the real problem here is, as you said, the absolute disregard for the word of God and how it shows up in our families, in our societies, in our lives. Now, you might think that you can live your life as you please and that there's no one to tell you what to do. You could go out into the street and perform everything that you see on TikTok and partake in that life. But in reality, what's happening is that the death that sin engenders will inevitably spider out or bleed out and infect and hurt other people in society. In this case, it's a first grade teacher named Abby Zwirner, shot in the chest, doing her everyday work. And there seems to be both problems in the sense that in this child's situation, what you had was a complete breakdown, implosion of the family and people that are not there to point him to Christ, to rein in that flesh and to raise him up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. But you also have children who are raised in so-called intact nuclear families with people who are actively encouraging this culture of sin and debauchery and killing and murdering, glorifying those things that God has expressly prohibited in Scripture. Just a month ago, I'd say it was in December or late November of 2023, the political conservative pundit Candace Owens brought up a video of a 9-year-old child rapping about things that no 9-year-old should know anything about. The things that that child was rapping about was clearly things that he had heard from others, that he consumed through media, whether conventional or social media, and that his family are on video, on record of encouraging him and applauding him in that pursuit. So it's a breakdown of the family, yes, but it's also a complete disregard for the word of God and how he says that the family should be established, how he says the child should be raised, what things that we as individuals should be honoring and uplifting, how we should be living. It's an absolute refusal to acknowledge and bend the knee to the rule of Christ in our lives and in our society that has led to this tragedy. And many people that were reacting to the sentence, and you could hear it in the newscasters, the way that they set up some of the questions. They would say, oh, you know, this mother was sentenced to 2 years in jail, and then they hand it off to the other reporter with this statement. And so-and-so, this is kind of a heavy-handed sentence, isn't it? So already prepping and priming the audience to think, oh, why did this person get such a heavy-handed sentence? Well, it falls in line with the narrative. Because she's Black and she has been found guilty and sentenced in this particular thing, the sentencing is more heavy-handed than it would be if this person were white. They don't need to expressly say that, but the way that they are reporting on the issue, it is clear that that's the narrative that they're seeking to propagate, they're seeking to further. And so people watching this will take that in. People who are not thinking about this, people who are not looking at this biblically will take it in and say, oh, yeah, well, she has the book thrown at her because she's Black. Well, no, it's because it's obvious from the setup of her entire family that these people have absolutely no regard for the word of God, and their lives and their actions demonstrate that.
Well, I understand what you're saying, but of course, the judge can't hand down judgment based upon the word of God. I do agree with you on that. I would just want to clarify something you said, because I don't think you meant it the way it come across.
What's that?
But of course, I do think that there should be a limit or age limit. And then I'm saying this because, of course, I'm sure there are a lot of states where a young lady can get married at 15, 16 with parental consent. And I'm not saying that the 18-year-old can't be a good mother. I'm just simply saying, as the land of squires would say, before carriage, have marriage. So, you know, make sure before you get pregnant.
Yes, of course. That's my point.
You're married to a guy, you're saying.
Absolutely. No, that's my point. The fact that we're doing it backwards, we're going out into the world, not we, I'm saying as a society as a whole, going out into the world, having fun, treating sex very, very, very loosely as some sort of activity or some fun thing to do. And the subsequent children that are produced as a result are on the receiving end of our sin. So no, I'm not advocating for people to just go have kids willy-nilly in their teens. I'm saying that the way that it's done is to get married and have your children. That's what God established, and that's how it should be done. So yes, no, you're right. Thank you for the correction.
No, that's not what I'm talking about. I'm just talking about the age aspect of it. I'm just simply saying that, yes, there should be a certain age where we don't expect a young lady to be married, nor to be having kids. Because
we certainly don't expect a 12 or 14-year-old to be out there.
Yeah, but
course.
I get it. But you said going back to the olden days, and to the olden days, you're talking about 15, 14-year-old. And again, you know, our society have said 18, you're adult, and we keep it as that.
Sure.
I don't think the Bible specifically put an age. It is highly reported that Mary was about 16 when she was impregnated by the Holy Ghost with Jesus. Again, this is a completely different topic, but I'm just simply saying,
yeah,
we do understand that society had a time where girls were younger, could get married and have kids. Today, we say 18, most young ladies today are getting married in the late 20s, early 30s, having their first kids. That's fine. I'm not hopping on that at all. I'm just simply saying.
No, yeah, I'm not either.
Yes, the law is there for a reason. The 18, whatever the case may be, I'm not saying that a young lady can't be a good mother at 18. But at the bottom line of it, when you're legally able to do so, get married
yes, obviously.
Before you have stuff.
Anyways. Obviously, get married before you do. And I suppose what I was getting at is the fact that this whole children having children, it's a symptom, not necessarily a root cause, if that makes any sense. But yes, you're absolutely right.
And I'm just simply saying Deja was pretty young. I think she's 25 or something like that, or younger.
Oh, is she? I didn't even realize
that.
She was that young.
I don't remember exactly her age, but Does that mean she was 19, 18, 19 when she had the kid? Again, obviously wasn't married. I don't know her situation. But anyways,
right.
You're listening to the Remove Embarrassed podcast. We are discussing Deja Taylor or Deja Taylor versus Hunter Biden, a case of class. We'll be right back.
Do you have the desire to earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints? Answers in Genesis can help. They provide biblically sound books, CDs, DVDs, homeschooling materials, VBS materials, online courses, digital downloads, and the Answers magazine, and more. Plus, tickets to the Creation Museum and Ark Encounter. Go to the Answers bookstore by clicking the link in the description section below, so you too can be ready to give an answer to anyone who asks the reason of the hope that is in you. Hi, this is Jay. MCG and I would like for you to help us remove barriers by going to removingbarriers.net and subscribing to receive all things Removing Barriers. If you'd like to take your efforts a bit further and help us keep the mics on, consider donating at removingbarriers.net/donate. Removing Barriers, a clear view of the cross.
Okay, so now that we've got all of that cleared out and understood, what does any of this have to do with Hunter Biden?
Absolutely nothing. Except we want to compare and contrast his legal woes with Deja Taylor. They're not related in any way. So we're not saying that Hunter Biden somehow know Deja Taylor or vice versa. They have nothing to do with each other. Except it's widely reported, and I think it's well known now, for many years since the 2020 elections, or even before that, that the contents of Hunter Biden's laptop that was made public, the fact that he lied on his 4473, sound familiar? Deja Taylor lied on her 4473, and Deja Taylor lied about marijuana use. Hunter Biden lied about crack cocaine, where, as I said, a lot of
gun, and vodka, as he said.
A lot of gun folks would say, hey, I should be able to use my marijuana and still be able to buy my gun. I've never heard anyone say that you can be on crack cocaine and be able to buy a gun. But that's neither here nor there. But anyways, Hunter Biden lied on his 4473. And guess who's in jail because they lied partly? Because they lied on the 4473? Deja Taylor. Guess who the federal government, even though they have overwhelming evidence of wrongdoing, of one, disposing of a weapon improperly and lying on the 4473, that's Hunter Biden. And one is in jail, one has been charged federally. Remember, the situation with Deja Taylor's son happened January of 2023. This is January of 2024, and Deja Taylor is already in jail. We know about Hunter Biden's legal stuff and what he has allegedly done and what now he has been indicted for.
At least since 2018.
I would say. And he's still a free man. My question is why? But here's a news clip of Hunter Biden legal woes.
Tonight, the president's son indicted on 3 felony federal gun charges, accused of lying about his drug use to purchase a handgun and then possessing that gun illegally. Hunter Biden bought the Colt revolver in 2018 when he was at the height of his addiction. He has acknowledged using crack cocaine at times as frequently as every 15 minutes.
I went one time for 13 days without sleeping and smoking crack and drinking vodka exclusively throughout that entire time.
But when Biden bought the gun, he filled out a form saying he was not a drug user, which prosecutors say made the purchase and possession of the gun illegal, felonies that could put him in prison for more than a decade. Tonight, Hunter Biden's attorney accusing the special counsel of bending to political pressure from Republicans in Congress, insisting Hunter Biden possessing an unloaded gun for 11 days was not a threat to public safety. Today's news coming as President Biden was delivering a speech on the economy. No comment on his son's indictment.
There's a lot more I know we could talk about. I wish I had a chance to take all your questions, but I'm going to get in real trouble if I do that.
Hey, who are you voting for? Anyways.
Trouble with who? You're the president.
Exactly. Well, anyways, your president is going to get in trouble if he speaks about his son's legal troubles.
Oh, brother.
You know, I work for a corporation. I've never heard the CEO say, you know, If I do something, I'm going to get in trouble. But anyways, I think president might be a little bit higher than the CEO. But anyways, the president going to get in trouble. But that's not the point of this podcast. So my point is here, though. What DJ Taylor did and what Hunter Biden did in terms of buying a firearm, lying on it because they're using drugs, possessing a firearm, is the same federal law. They broke the same federal law. DJ Taylor could have got 10 plus years, just like Hunter Biden is staring down the barrel of 10 plus years. DJ Taylor took a plea deal for 2 years. What is going to come out of Hunter Biden stuff? I believe absolutely nothing, especially if his father, President Joe Biden, wins the elections in 2024 and is president until January 2029. Absolutely nothing is going to come out of Hunter Biden breaking the law like that. And again, I ask why. Hunter Biden lied on his 44th anniversary, the same crime. A lot of folks will say, hey, let me put it this way. Mr. and Mrs. Democrat, why is DJ Taylor, comma, a black woman sitting in jail? Let me rephrase that. Let me put a little bit more intersectionalities on it. A single mother, black woman sitting in jail, and Hunter Biden, the privileged son of the president of the United States, still a free man as of this recording of this episode of this podcast. Well, some people might say it's race. And I honestly don't believe it's race. Some people might say, you know, it's money. And I think maybe money has a part to do with it. But the honest answer, I believe, is class. But I'll let you jump in, Jay.
Yeah, I would agree with that. Absolutely. Hunter Biden was well on his way to having full or at least wide-reaching sweeping immunity for all of these different felony gun charges that he's facing. The Delaware U.S. Attorney, David Weiss, had investigated him for 5 years already and offered him a plea deal if he would agree to cooperate with a few other things that David Weiss was pursuing. And so had this continued and had this gone undetected in the court systems, Hunter Biden would not be facing felony gun charges and they would never be able to bring that up in future dates at all ever again. It was a judge who, on the very day they were supposed to seal the deal, that was reading through the agreement and saw in one of the paragraphs the crazy amount of immunity that was being offered to him, that is to Hunter Biden, in this plea deal. And she said, "What is this nonsense?" and nixed it. And as a result, and all of the follow through, the plea deal fell apart. So, and many people in the IRS, or at least one or two folks in the IRS that were privy to David Weiss's investigation, said that they were being blocked and stiff-armed in their attempt to uncover all of the other issues, legal issues that Hunter Biden's facing. We're talking the money laundering, the tax issues, the tax evasion. We're talking about Burisma, Victor Shokin, that entire bowl of worms there. The IRS even went public in saying that the investigation was partial to and very much accommodating of Hunter Biden. In other words, he can't be touched. He's the president's son. That issue of class that you're talking about, I would wholeheartedly agree.
Yeah, but I'm not even talking about the IRS charges. I'm just looking at purely a gun charge.
Right. Now, what I'm saying is the only reason why we know about, or at least the only reason why he's facing felony gun charges is because...
Right.
Right. That's what I'm saying. It didn't go through. The judge happened to catch it on the day they were supposed to shake hands on it, which would have never happened in Deja Taylor's case or any other American that doesn't have some measure of standing or class or political pull like Hunter Biden does simply because his father is the president of the country.
You know what another irony of the whole thing is? Is that Hunter Biden is using the Second Amendment as his defense, which I totally agree with him. The Second Amendment says a well-regulated militia be necessary for the security of a free state. The right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed, except if you're on drugs, except if you use marijuana, except if you use alcohol. He said, shall not be infringed. So, hey, if Hunter Biden is using the Second Amendment and say, hey, this is a violation of my Second Amendment right, whether I'm on drugs or whatever, the Second Amendment says shall not be infringed. And I agree with him. But the point is, could you tell your dad that, please? Could you let your dad know that AR-15s are protected by the Second Amendment too, just like the revolver that you bought? Can I request that? Can I request that semi-automatic handguns are protected by the Second Amendment, just like your Colt revolver. Maybe we can get that. I don't know. But I'm simply saying, hey, you know what? Good on you. You have the lawyer. You have the money to raise a defense. And if Second Amendment is your defense, who's going to argue against that? But the point is, again, why is it that Deidre Taylor is sitting in jail and Hunter Biden is free? And it's not like we don't know that he did it. He have done interviews. I think he even wrote a book. So it seems to me to be very open and shut. He might as well accept a plea deal, because as we say in the Caribbean at this point, at least if he wasn't Hunter Biden, we would say, crap or smoke your pipe. You're toast. All the evidence are so clear. But you're Hunter Biden. Anyways.
So the issue is not race, you say it is class. What's wrong with that in the country? Why is that even a problem?
Well, let's do this. Let's change the names a little bit. Deidre Biden, the black granddaughter of the president, Joe Biden. Because, of course, we know Hunter Biden had a lot of things going on, and he could have had a child with someone, and the child was mixed race and looked like Barack Obama. So Deidre Biden, the black grandchild of President Biden. And we have Hunter Taylor, a no-name white guy living in Newport News, Virginia. Flip it around, and it would be exactly the same thing that we are seeing today. Deidre Biden would have been getting special privileges. The DOJ and the FBI would be dragging their feet and charging them, offering them sweetheart plea bargain and immunity. And Hunter Taylor would have been sitting in jail. We flip the names and keep the race the same, and the outcome would have still been the same. Why? Because in this country, what we call systemic racism is actually systemic classism. If you have the money, if you have the clout, if you have the know-how, you're above the law. We have seen that. Look at what just came out with the Epstein stuff, Jeffrey Epstein stuff. Yep. Look at Bill Clinton's name. It was shown in there and all these people.
My goodness, if any regular American were caught doing the things that these elite class people are doing with children and the trafficking of children, we would be put in jail so quick. We'd have whiplash, wouldn't know what's going on. But these people are allowed to continue with impunity for decades, decades. What does that say about our justice system?
It says, again, I believe we have one of the best justice system in the world. I prefer to go through this justice system than the one in North Korea. However, of course, it's not perfect. And of course, it all comes down to who has the most money and who's well known to get defense and stuff like that. You know, the thing that bothered me most about the Hunter Biden stuff is not even so much that the fact, of course, they have indicted him, they have charged him, and the case is pending. Round of applause. Good. That's not even the thing that even bothered me the most. It's the fact that we have known about it for so long, and yet this thing hasn't even gone to court yet. He hasn't, you know, why? And if you can give me a reason why, that doesn't include the fact that he's the president's son, doesn't include the fact that he has money and class or whatever, let me hear it. But for me, outside looking in, it seems to me that Deidre Taylor was just a nobody in Newport News, Virginia, and Hunter Biden is the president's son.
I think it has a lot more to do with just wealth. It's not really the wealth, although wealth is, in many instances, a component of class. But it's really about, are you in the in-group? Are you in cahoots with, or subservient to, or willing to bend the knee to the ruling class? Because there are plenty of wealthy people who are on the wrong side of the so-called ruling class.
Well, that's true.
Right. So let's say Elon Musk, for example, or Julian Assange, Edward Snowden. If you're against the machine, if you're against the, what is it, the consensus, if you would, of whatever the ruling class says is appropriate behavior and appropriate stance in terms of policy or in terms of religious or political ideation or any of these types of things, then if you're in the in crowd, then you're okay. If you're not, then they have the right to come down on you with the full weight of all of the institutions that have been captured by them. So it's not really an issue of wealth, although the overwhelming majority of the people in that class are wealthy. It's really about being a part of that world system, which is in itself in opposition to Almighty God. That's where the real crux of it is. Our system is a complex quilt of state and federal systems and codes. And so what will happen in one state will not necessarily go on with another. And then you have the issue of class thrown in there. And that's, you know, there's that constant tension between state and federal, between the people and their government. And so you understand that a country like ours that values that tension, that values we the people, will naturally have that tension. But what I'm saying is, it goes beyond that because of the issue of, are you on the, what the Bible calls the world system's side? If you're not, they'll crush you with their institutions. If you are, well, then you're welcomed and you'll be protected and you'll be given sweep immunity, even though you are doing hard drugs and soliciting the company of prostitutes, which is illegal. So what it says about our justice system, in my opinion, is that even though it is the best justice system in the world, Christians ought not to be fooled into thinking that this is a good justice system. What I mean by that is, you know, the Lord says, why do you call me good? Only God is good. We have to realize that our system is, first of all, established by men. And so it's inherently fallible, but also it's obviously being wielded for sinful purposes or in sinful ways. And so our trust and our hope should not be in our justice system. We should fight to keep it as God-fearing, I should say. I can't think of the word, but as God-honoring and God-fearing as possible. But that should not be where our confidence and our hope lie.
Yeah, definitely. It definitely shows that we have respect of person in our,
yep, respect
in our
of
justice,
person.
In our justice system. And yeah, class. Yeah. So also, you know, why does class matter so much in our culture though? That's the big question. I think you touch on that in what you just said there. I remember, of course, growing up in the Caribbean, we have famous cricketers. You know, you have people like Curtly Ambrose, which is one of the greatest fast bowlers to ever live. And you have other famous cricketers in the islands. And I remember meeting Curtly Ambrose, but it was nothing compared to what you see in the U.S. when it comes to meeting famous people. They are exalted. And you could argue again, I think class and money kind of go hand in hand most of the time. You're right that it's not always the case, but most of the time it does go hand in hand. But, you know, why is this in our culture? I think about Ecclesiastes 10 and verse 19, where the Bible said, a feast is made for laughter and wine make it merry, but money answereth all things. And of course, King Solomon, who is the writer of Ecclesiastes, was writing from a worldly perspective here, because we know money does not answer everything, and one of which is salvation. Mm-hmm. But the point here is that if you have enough money and the class to go with it, you can drag things out in our justice system for a very long time. And sometimes that is even the point of even actually charging some people, is do you have the resources to drag this on for as long as it takes to clear your name. And I think that's the issue here. DJ Taylor didn't have the money and the class to drag this out as long as she can, but Hunter Biden does. And again, another distinction, Hunter Biden's gun was never used by a child to hurt someone else. I give all that, but that's on the state level. The federal level, they both committed the same crime. And the point come down here, money answered all things, and it does for Hunter Biden. You know, the Bible also says the love of money is the root of all evil. You know, the Bible didn't say money is the root of all evil, but the love of money is the root of all evil. And as I said before, I believe with the class, usually, most of the time, it comes with the money. Or at least if it's not yours, come with access to it. Just as you said, you know, if you're affiliated with some of these people that are in the class. And of course, I also mentioned 1 Timothy 6:10, for the love of money is the root of all evil.
I'm thinking about this, the love of money being the root of all evil. It's the love or the pursuit of that money by any means necessary, because there are godly people who are incredibly wealthy, both in scripture and in our world today, but there is no attachment to the money. They're not identified by it. They don't worship it. They're not pursuing it in the sense of pursuing it in order for that to be their end all and be all. So the pursuit of that money in order to be acknowledged by people, in order to attain that class, that idolatry is absolutely evil. We know now, although people in the industry have known it for decades, what evil lengths actresses and actors have to go through to attain A-list level fame and A-list level notoriety. It's the complete selling of their souls, as it were, abasing themselves to do the bidding of evil people and the devil himself in order to attain that class, that money, that respect of person. This is what it says about us as a people and us as our culture. We no longer care about the things that God cares about. Class mm-hmm. comes with wealth and conformity to agreed upon terms by the ruling elite or the world system. That's where class and money come from. God is no respecter of persons. Romans 2:11 says that for there is no respect of persons with God. The context there, of course, is the issue of sin and salvation and the fact that you can't win salvation by means of your birth or your religion. It's all about turning from your sin and putting your trust and faith in the Lord. But in other areas of scripture, the Bible says the same thing about the sin of regarding people because of their wealth or because of their stature, because of their status. God does not look upon what man looks upon. God looks upon the heart. 1 Samuel 16:7, this is God talking to Samuel, and he's perplexed because people want to have this person as king. But God says, no, it's not going to be that guy. It's not going to be this guy. It's not going to be that guy. It's going to be this guy. Because I don't look at people based on what they look like. I look at the heart. Well, let me just stop paraphrasing. Let me just read it. 1 Samuel 16:7. But the Lord said unto Samuel, look not on his countenance or on the height of his stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord seeth not as man seeth. For man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart. Galatians 3:28 continues this theme of God not caring about who's who. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There's neither bond nor free. There is neither male nor female, for ye are all one in Christ Jesus. Of course, the context here is talking about saved people. Even among saved people, God don't care who you are. God doesn't respect the person. 1 Timothy 6 verses 9 through 10 says, but they that will be rich, or that love of money, the desire to be well thought of by man, the respect of persons, mm-hmm. they that will be rich will fall into temptation and a snare, into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. Doesn't that describe Hollywood? Doesn't that describe our political class? It continues, for the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. Proverbs 28 verse 6 says, better is the poor that walketh in uprightness than he that is perverse in his ways, though he be rich. Mark 8:36, for what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? The Bible says that the love of money is the root of all evil, and class and the love of money, you know, would you say that they're the same thing? It seems that
they're not the same thing per se, but I think they kind of go hand in hand. In terms of...
You mean in our culture or just in general?
In our culture, especially.
Because no one will give you the time of day if you don't have some type of wealth.
Right. In our culture, for most part.
Right.
If you don't have the class, you can use money to buy it. If you have the class, the money will come your way. And of course, we can't overlook the political portion of it too. You know, if you have some sort of political influence, money will come your way as well. At least it seems that way.
Well, we see that with social media influencers as well.
But not just that. Back to the politicians, mm-hmm. how many of them go into politics, whether it's on the federal level or the state level, having, you know, a normal or even below normal net worth, and once they serve two or three terms and they come out, they're multimillionaires.
Right.
You know, would the class come the money, or would the money come the class, even though they're not necessarily the same thing? But I wanted to also say this, because there's nothing wrong with being rich.
Right.
You know, the Bible does not condemn the rich man, and the Bible does not condemn the poor man. As a matter of fact, being poor doesn't mean you're righteous, and being rich doesn't mean you're a crook.
Very much so.
You know, many folks in the Bible was rich. You know, Abraham was rich, Solomon was rich, David was rich. A lot of the saints of the Old Testament were rich. Being rich, it doesn't give you a character flaw. Just to paraphrase Dave Ramsey, he says that money doesn't make you a jerk. It only highlights the jerk that you already are and then magnifies it. Mm-hmm. Money magnified
the character that you are, yeah.
Exactly. So You know, there's nothing wrong with being rich, and it's certainly not sinful to be poor. Of course, all of us would want to be able to live comfortably and stuff like that. But the important thing here is the fact is that, again, going back to DJ Taylor and Hunter Biden, I don't believe that race has anything to do with it whatsoever. I don't think that the fact that both of them committed the same crime, they did exactly the same thing, except for the fact that DJ Taylor's son took a gun and whatever, state crime. I'm talking about federal crime. Mm-hmm. They broke the same federal law. Lied on the 4473, possess a gun after lying on it, and one is sitting in jail and one is still walking free.
Yeah.
And the one that's walking free might never sit a day in jail. So will our class, reputation, or influence open any door for us?
You know, before you said that he'll never face any sort of repercussion for what he did, right?
I don't think he would.
Right.
Especially if his father wins the 2024 presidential election.
And that's a fearful place to be. The proverbs say, and I have to paraphrase this because I don't have it right up in front of me, the person that is continually corrected and continually hardens their neck against correction will suddenly have their neck broken and not be able to recover from that. His situation is even worse, I would argue, because he is in a situation, he is among people, he is in an environment that perpetually protect him from the consequences of his behavior. You know, I've heard people say that famous people, Hollywood people, famous people, actresses, singers, all these class of people, they have the worst health care in the world. Why? Because with just a word, they could have any doctor that will provide them with anything that they want. And more often than not, they will not have someone who is strong enough, principled enough, God-fearing to stand up to them and say no. And so when we think about class and reputation and influence and money and all of these things that are universally coveted, we need to be careful and need to be looking inwardly to make sure that we're not desiring or coveting any of those things, because those things can't open any of the doors that really matter. They can't open the door to salvation. They can't open the door to self-confrontation, that we might hear the gospel and be humbled by it and turn to God, who we should fear, because not only can he destroy our bodies, he can destroy our bodies and our souls in hell. And so the person that is never brought to task or never brought to realize their sinfulness, the most miserable, probably right along there with people who know the truth and reject it, of mm-hmm. most men, most miserable. And so your wealth and your money and your influence can't open the most important doors, the most important of which being salvation through the Lord Jesus Christ, his death, burial, and resurrection.
Yeah, definitely. You know, your class, reputation, influence, money definitely open a lot of doors for you on this earth.
Mm-hmm.
Think about it. And maybe you're like me. You don't necessarily answer phone calls from a number that you don't know. But how many of us knowingly would refuse a call from Joe Biden, the president of the United States, Elon Musk, the richest man upon the face of the earth, at least that we know of, or Bill Gates, the founder and still maybe on the board of Microsoft? All of us do have respect of person in some way or form. I think in some degree it's healthy if you have respect of your fellow man,
mm-hmm.
not necessarily based on the class, but just of your fellow man. But having respect of your fellow man, no matter what status it's think, is the biblical way. Not having respect just because of their class. But again, we did an episode some time ago, Elon Musk and Babylon Bee and the way they presented the gospel to him
mm-hmm.
and stuff like that. And we think we kind of bring out some of these things in there. They acted the way they acted because of who they were talking to. So, of course, James chapter 2, verse 1 to 9 is a pretty long passage, but I think I'm going to read it. It says, "My brethren, have not the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, with respect of person. For if there come unto you or assembly a man with a gold ring in goodly apparel, and there come in also a poor man in vile raiment, and he have respect to him that weareth the gay clothing, and say unto him, Sit thou here in a good place, and say to the poor, Stand thou there, or sit here under my footstool. Are ye not then partial in your ways, and are become judges of evil thoughts? Hearken, my beloved brethren, had not God chosen the poor of this world rich in faith and heirs of the kingdom which he had promised to them that love him? But he hath despised the poor. Do not rich men oppress you and draw you before the judgment seats? Do they not blaspheme that worthy name by which ye are called? If he fulfill the royal law according to the scripture, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself, he do well. But if he have respect of person, he commit sin and are convinced of the law as transgressors. I will not get into all of this, but James is not saying here being rich is evil and being poor is righteous. There are some, as I said before, godly rich folks, and there are some crooked poor people. He's warning here about the respecting of person for the wrong reason. But I praise the Lord that there's no respect of person with him. I think about this kiddie song we sing in the Caribbean. Well, I think we sing it in the U.S. as well. It's basically hallelujah, 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 praise ye the Lord. But there's a verse to it that I've only heard sung in the islands. And it goes something like this. If salvation was a thing that money could buy, the rich would live and the poor would die. Mm-hmm. And then instead of saying hallelujah, hallelujah, we say, it's not so, praise ye the Lord. It's not so, praise ye the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. And indeed, all can come and all must come in repentant faith in Christ Jesus. Whether you're rich or poor, no amount of money, class can get you into heaven. It's only through repentant faith in Jesus Christ. Are you not glad that he did not only die for the rich? Are you not glad that he did not only die for the poor, but he died for all of us? He rose again in victory for all of us. The Bible says in John 14, verse 1, Jesus said unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one cometh unto the Father but by me. He didn't say but by riches. He didn't say but by class. He didn't say but by race. He says by me. My question for you, dear listener, if you have never done so, would you repent of your sins and trust Christ today?
This is the Removing Barriers podcast. If the podcast or the blog were a blessing to you, leave us a rating and a review on your favorite podcast platform. And don't forget to share the podcast with your friends. Removing Barriers, a clear view of the cross.
Thank you for listening. To get a hold of us, to support this podcast, or to learn more about Removing Barriers, go to removingbarriers.net. This has been the Removing Barriers podcast. We attempted to remove barriers so that we all can have a clear view of the cross.